Good morning. This is your host, Christy Slaughter, on Supertalk Saturday mornings, WFHG 90.9. Happy weekend, everyone. We have already hit 51 degrees, and it's sunshiny here in Bristol, Virginia. I've got Rick Allen back on the board. Welcome back, Rick.
Here I is.
How was last week? Having a little, I'm not going to say time off because you were working on location, but yeah, what was it like not to be here in the studio?
It's the first Saturday that I've missed in a while. But you just do what you got to do.
Change of scenery.
Yeah, it was a change of scenery, doing something different out there. I was out in Greenville last week at the new Ford Nissan dealership, which is a weird combination, I thought. I didn't get to really talk to anybody about why, but it seems to be working for them. It's a nice new dealership. Yeah.
Well, good.
Or a little remote work.
Well, we're glad to have you back.
Yeah.
This week, I've been watching some movies from the 90s.
The 90s?
One of the online streaming services that I use decided to feature the 90s. I don't know why. I suspect because most of us have went through all the current
because the
movies
90s
and TVs.
Are great. That's
they
why.
They are. They're really great. So I watched a couple movies this week while I was working from home and sending some emails. We've got some great guests. I am beyond excitement.
Beyond excitement.
I don't even know what that is.
But it's beyond it.
But I've dipped my toe in it.
Okay. What movies did you watch? If you were going to get to that, I don't want to rush you.
So I watched Pretty Woman. Do you remember Pretty Woman?
Oh, yeah. That's okay.
With
Julia
Roberts.
That's a classic, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I had a moment where I thought, how does this describe me as a woman and a person? When I was watching, I hadn't seen it in many years. Julia Roberts takes out a pair of high heels and a Sharpie and Sharpies her shoes.
Everybody can relate to that, right?
Which I do. Do you do that? Do you Sharpie your heels?
No, I can't say I Sharpie the heels.
Do you Sharpie your other shoes?
No.
No, okay.
No.
Then it's just me and Julia.
I mean, I can understand why I Sharpie other things.
Probably. What do you Sharpie? Yikes.
Like little nicks in like counters or something. I take a little white marker or something or whatever the color might be. Fill it in. It's not perfect, but it hides it, enough.
The worst shoe job that I ever did was a pair of fur high heels. I don't know if you've ever seen fur high heels before.
No.
They're quite beautiful. I had a pair of brown fur high heels, and they had little black dots on them. So this is giving way too much information about the way that I walk, but evidently I scrub the fur off of the insides of the heels, as you walk. And so they were a little furless inside, but they were beautiful shoes, and I didn't want to throw them out. They weren't good enough probably to donate, but I decided to take a Sharpie and Sharpie black dots in the inside of the heels, and I thought it looked pretty good. Several people said it looked terrible. It was worse than just leaving the fur off.
Oh, no.
But that's probably the worst Sharpie job I ever did. Yesterday, I touched up some boots.
They were aware that you did this, though.
Yeah.
But if they weren't aware, they probably wouldn't even notice.
Maybe not.
So unless people are coming up to you and stopping you wanting to inspect your shoes, then you're good to go.
Right. And most people aren't down on the ground.
That's right.
Put a smile on your face wearing that mask. People are never going to look at your shoes. I did touch up a pair of boots yesterday, some red boots that a little bit of the paint had come off the top. So got those touched up. I think they're looking pretty good.
Yeah.
Looks okay. Better than white on red boots. But anyway.
Are they the ones you're wearing
yeah,
now?
Yeah. What do you think?
I lift them
up.
I saw them. Yeah. Yeah. They look good.
Could you tell?
No, I couldn't tell that you had done anything to them.
Well, great. I just ratted
myself
out. I just
noticed that they were
bright red.
Yeah.
So Julie and I shared a moment this week. I also watched Searching for Bobby Fischer.
I watched that too.
You had suggested that I watch it.
I like chess. I'm not going to say I like things related to chess, but I do like that movie. Yeah.
I had never seen it before.
It's good.
I thought this was a new movie, and then I realized, no, it came out in 1993.
Yeah.
I noticed that their clothes were a little dated. I just thought it was a throwback, but Yeah, it came out in 1993. I think this is one of the few movies that Rotten Tomatoes gave it 100%, and I loved it.
Oh, yeah. That's a staple of classic 90s movies. Sure.
So the little boy who played, if you've not seen the movie, Searching for Bobby Fischer, and one of the reasons I liked it, it's a PG film. I thought this would be definitely appropriate if you have children, like middle school age and even younger. Probably younger, they might not understand the thematic story of it and the importance of how this really transfers over to adult life, too. When you find something that you're passionate about and you love it, you invest all your time, your resources, your passion into that, whatever it is, a career or a hobby. And then all of a sudden, you find yourself losing the joy that you originally started with. So I thought it was really great. It would be a good family movie, I think, for people to watch.
The mother, I think Joan Allen plays the mother in that. That her character always struck me as being very much more aware of her son's character than the father. The father was still supportive, but she understood the son in a deeper way. That, I don't know, that it's like my mom, I think.
Oh, that's sweet. We'll tell her that you said that. The boy who plays Josh, he is the main character who has this talent for chess that the entire family did not realize until one day. He is adorable. The boy who played Josh, now he would be, I'm sure, a young adult. I don't know if he's done anything else.
I'm not familiar with him.
Max Pomerank, maybe, is his name, but he was so cute in the movie. I thought it was a good family throwback to the 90s. So if you're looking for something else to watch, if you're like us and have went through everything, I think
everything.
I sent you a message earlier this week, and I said, please, somebody tell me something to watch. What was the other movie? Cyrus Alderwood had messaged me, and there was a, I don't know if it's like a thriller.
I'm not sure.
Oh, you don't remember?
I don't remember.
Hmm.
Was this did he share this on the program?
No. Hmm. He sent it to me earlier this week, and you said that it was spooky. I don't know if that's the exact word that you used.
Was this the I Care a Lot?
I Care a Lot.
I did see that too, yeah. Yeah, and I don't know if spooky is the right term, but
I don't think you said spooky. I don't know. I'm just quoting things that I can't remember.
Certainly disturbing.
I Care a Lot.
It kind of gave a little, you know, pulled back the curtain a little bit. I could see people actually doing things like that.
I don't know if I can watch that.
I mean, like I said, it's not that it's scary. It's just, you know, you start to watch it and you realize, my God, how easy would it be for somebody to, you know, do something and set something up like that?
Ooh, sounds like a thriller.
It makes you worry about being old and alone.
Oh, gosh. Okay, well, it's great to have everybody tune in today. We're not going to be talking about being old
or alone
this morning. We're going to be talking to a miracleologist.
A miracleologist. Now, what exactly is that?
Well, you'll have to stay tuned and see. And then we're also talking to the founder of The Love Card.
Okay. The love card.
Is there love in your cards?
Oh, okay.
It's not that kind of thing. We're not telling fortunes today. We're not telling Rick Allen's future.
I was going to say, did somebody just create that?
Yeah, I'm just making stuff up as I go.
It seems like that would have been around for a while now.
Well, thank you all so much for tuning in. It's going to be a beautiful day today. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be back here in just a few minutes. This is your host, Christy Slaughter, on Super Talk Saturday mornings, WFHG 92.9. Welcome back. This is your host, Christy Slaughter, on Super Talk Saturday mornings, WFHG 92.9. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning. It's 52 degrees here in Bristol, Virginia, and we are joined with our special guest, Joanne Steinberg. She is the owner of The Love Card. Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning, Christy.
Thank you for being on the show today. I want to talk about the Love Card movement. If our listeners aren't familiar with the Love Card, give us a description of what this card means and how this movement started.
Well, basically, the Love Card is super simple. It's just a small little circular card with a beautiful heart on one side and a message on the other. It started about 6 years ago as just a way of sort of extending love to people in my community. I'm a teacher, to my students, to my family, and people started to enjoy getting them and then wanted to give them out themselves. So they started asking, hey, can I get a few more of these? And so it grew from there. But it's basically a way of spreading love. Really simple.
Joanne, why did you decide to start the Love Card?
I felt in the very, very beginning, to be honest, my two children were coming into their teen years. And so I was kind of letting go of the tether, and I know they were going to be out in the world more and more. And it was just a little handmade thing I made my children so that if they were having a rough day, they could put their hand in their pocket and see the Love Card and just be like, oh, okay, everything's going to be okay. And then it grew from there, and I just thought, we all are carrying something big on our shoulders, the up, happy, smiley person, the down and out person, and wouldn't it be wonderful if there was a way of just extending this love to others in a comfortable way, in a way that's not, you know, crossing any boundaries. So I would say that's basically how it, you know, the original intention.
Joanne, when you started doing the cards for your kids, did you start branching out after that and giving them to friends and other family members? Because I had read on your website that there are now over 150,000 love cards all over the world. Where did you get from that original, just giving these sweet little notes to your kids, to being able to impact people all over the world?
Well, maybe if I read the words on the card, it might help to sort of imagine what happens when someone gets it. It says, this is the Love Card. You are holding this card because you are loved. It delivers a powerful energy of love and self-love. Hold it tight, take three deep breaths, and feel the love. When given away, you give the gift of love to another. And I think that last sentence inspired people to just call me who knew me and said, I want to give some of these. I want to put some of these in my holiday cards this year. I want to give some of these to a family member that's not feeling well. So it just came from folks getting the card, wanting to pay it forward, and didn't have some of their own. And that's literally how it's grown. We're actually over 250,000 cards now, just by people saying, I want this. I want to give this away too.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. One of the things that I love, Joanne, is because the card is so simple and beautiful, it doesn't have an attachment to any political belief or socioeconomic status or religion. It just simply boils down to kindness, caring, love.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what we all have to work on and learn. I've been doing this for 6 years, and I'm still in situations where I know I'm judging someone for some reason inside my heart. And I think sometimes I just put my hand in my pocket because, of course, I'm the Love Card lady. My pockets are filled with these cards. And everywhere I go, I try and just think and extend the energy of just, hey, I don't know who you are, but you're loved. And so the coolest thing about all of this is that, okay, it was my idea, but it's not me. It's literally thousands of people now reaching into their pockets and extending the card to someone. Some people, like myself in the beginning, felt very shy. Like, I'm not going to just go up to somebody on the street and say, hey, here's a Love Card. It felt like too much. So I would be the one that, when the person at the cash register turned around and I was walking away, I would just slip a Love Card right in front of the register, or you know, situations like that. And then some people are really brave and bold, and it does take courage because you're kind of putting your heart out on the sleeve and saying, hey, here's a love card. But everyone who gets them have a moment of, they're touched in some way, and then they want to pass it on. So it's a movement of thousands of people that are doing it, which just, I'm grateful beyond words.
Joanne, 6 years ago when you started the Love Card movement, did you ever anticipate that it would have grown the way that this movement has?
No way. I had no idea. I thought it was just going to be a sweet little simple thing that I did in my community. And I think I mentioned I'm a school teacher, and I thought I'd just send them home with the kids and in my community and fellow teachers who work so hard, and then it just exploded from there. It's been amazing. It's been quite a journey. It's really been a ride for me to hear from people what it meant to them to get a card.
Joanne, you have a beautiful website. It's thelovecard.org. You have a beautiful video on there that talks about some of the personal experiences or reactions that people had when they received a love card. Can you share a couple stories with us this morning?
Yes. And I do want to just say a beautiful man named Eric Solomon crossed my path about 6 months ago, and he heard about the love card, and he said, I've been waiting for a project like this my whole career, and he's a filmmaker, and he made the video during COVID, interviewing people on Zoom, and what he pulled out, it's so beautiful. I love that video. It's better than anything I could ever say. But one of the things I'm challenged with, so I'm so glad you asked me this question, is how to let people know, especially all of us who are just sort of dropping these cards anonymously and scooping away, we don't know the effect that the card has on people. And I get emails from people, you know, every day. And I'll read to you a couple of quick ones. Here's one. Someone left one on my car. I sat in my car for 20 minutes hysterically crying because I work at a hospital and was having a really rough day. This truly made my day. When I got home, I gave it to my son, who also teared up. This is an amazing project. Thank you. Here's another one. And these are actually from a couple of years ago. But here's one that says, hi, I'm writing to tell you that tonight my son received one of your cards from a customer that he doesn't know. This woman has no idea how she helped my son. Sean is 20 and has suffered from depression and social anxiety his whole life. This is something he needed to see and feel right now, and he did. She made his night. He immediately texted me the picture of your card. I hope she sees this and knows she gave this card to the right person, and he will go on and do the same. I don't know who that person was who walked into the convenience store at 11 o'clock at night at a gas station. I wound up communicating more with the mother. Probably just dropped the card on the counter and went off, and there that, you know, that love was left in the hands of this young man. So. Yeah, and there's so many. I mean, people say your cards arrived at our school today. So some people have gotten large quantities and just send them anonymously to their local school. And this person said, I'm a counselor here. I've never seen such a wave of joy wash over the students in the hall as I did today. What a great idea. These kids are having a ball giving love to each other and reaching out to those whom they've never connected with before. I've had another school have every senior give every freshman in high school a love card on their first day of school. Like, can you imagine being a freshman? You're so paranoid and scared walking into the big high school for the first time, and all the seniors are giving the freshmen a card and what that might feel like. So people's ideas are just incredible.
That's absolutely beautiful, Joanne. I'm tearing up myself.
Aw, I am a big tear. I'm tearing up constantly, and I'm just so moved. Have two more if you have time to hear a few more.
Yes, we do need to take a quick commercial break, but I would love for you to stay with us and share those when we come back.
Sure. Thank you.
We'll be back here in just a few minutes. This is your host, Christy Slaughter, on Super Talk Saturday mornings, WFHG 92.9. Welcome back. This is your host, Christy Slaughter, on Super Talk Saturday mornings, WFHG 92.9, sunny and clear here in Bristol, Virginia. It's 52 degrees, and we are joined back with our special guest, Joanne Steinberg. She is the founder of The Love Card. Over 250,000 love cards have been given away. Joanne, before the commercial break, you had a couple other stories that you wanted to share with us about The Love Card and the impact that they've made on people that have received them.
Yeah, thank you. And I was thinking also when we went to break, you had mentioned that there's, you know, there's nothing tied to it. There's nothing religious or political. And I think that it's a really good reminder. There's so many good human beings on this planet. And we hear often about corruption and things that are maybe not so good. But most people are trying their best to be good, honest, uplifting, kind. And I think this is just another confirmation of, you know, extending the card to someone is basically saying, I see you, you're loved, and you're not being judged in any way. And so, yeah, I thought I would share just a couple more things that I receive. Here's one that's so sweet. My oldest son brought me one when he went Christmas shopping because while he was shopping, someone gave it to him. He is 33 and rarely ever says he loves me. He's just not like that. It meant more to me than the present he bought. Thank you. Here's another one. I recently lost my mother. When I come home from work, it's the hardest part of my day. Yesterday when I came home, there was a card from a friend. When I opened the card and saw this little cute round love card inside, I could not help but smile and tears fell. What a beautiful way to tell someone they are loved. And then I just thought I'd share, there's many, many of these. And here's one I just got yesterday. I work at a hospital and would love to give my colleagues love for all they do day after day. Being socially distanced has taken a toll on us. Watching COVID spread like wildfire and saving severe cases while losing others has tested our hearts to an unbelievable degree. Would you be interested in helping me with this? So I just want to let people know that we support any project for free. Schools, hospitals, it can be anything. I mean, there's people sending packages, little nonprofits out there sending packages filled with uplifting things to folks suffering from mental illness. And it's just, it's endless what people are doing with them. And write to me and let me know if you have a project or something that you would really like to use the cards for. And we are here to support that.
Joanne, what is your website and contact information so people can learn more?
So it's thelovecard.org. And I am at Joanne, J-O-A-N-N-E, at thelovecard.org. And communicate with me anytime. Definitely watch the video. It's so beautifully made, and it's just interviews with people who are giving away the cards or have received the cards that really talk from the heart and say a heck of a lot more than I can.
Joanne, one of the things I love, even if someone doesn't have a larger project that they're working on, you do have a commitment to offer 5 love cards free to anyone. They just pay $1 for shipping and handling?
Yes. Yes. And recently we've actually had very large quantities of those orders. So I close my eyes and imagine each person that just got 5 cards is now exponentially, right? Giving those 5 cards out in their little world. Just in the last month, I think we've got about 1,000 of those. So, yeah. Any way, any form, write to me. It's just more love blanketing the planet. And that's the other wild thing. They're all over. I don't know how they've gotten to Europe and Asia, but they're there. And I've had people contact me asking if we could have the love card made in different languages. So, basically, people want to uplift and love others. That is a basic common human thing, and know that they are loved. So somehow this little card seems to be just working out well.
Joanne, have you noticed an increase in people ordering the love cards since the pandemic?
Yeah. And I think of course, because of the pandemic, we need even more to uplift each other and our own selves. It's actually incredibly inspiring to be the giver of them, because you see how it's received. And yes, I think just losing that connection with people and not being able to hug the way we hug or having that human interaction just makes them even more popular. So definitely it's increasing.
Joanne, how many people do you have working with the Love Card Movement?
Well, in terms of my office, there's four very hardworking people. but there are thousands of people out there who have made a commitment that just order on a regular basis, and it goes out with, you know, when you see the video, you'll get some ideas, but maybe it goes out with a product that they sell, or it goes into their classrooms, maybe they're any kind of instructor seems to be grabbing onto these and handing them out to their customers. There are people, oh my gosh, there's an amazing woman, Susie, who's in Cambridge, Mass, and she's got thousands of love cards, and everywhere she goes, she's just really bubbly, full of love, and everyone she approaches, she gives a love card to. Lori from the novel Turtle, she's an amazing being. She just keeps finding ways of giving love, so... and there are hundreds, thousands of people that are doing it. And many of them are, I don't know who they are, but I would say there are probably hundreds of folks that I do know. They're just all over. Some of them are in the video. Beautiful man up in Oregon who's, I'll get tons of orders on a particular day, you know, the 5 free love cards. And I always ask, you know, where did you hear about the love card? And, They'll give me the name of the person, you know, Lori from the novel Turtle. I'll think, wow, what did she do? Did she just give out 100 today? And half of those people have now contacted me. So it's hard to pin down now, but there's hundreds of people.
That is so beautiful. Joanne, we do need to take a news break here in just a couple of minutes. But I'm wondering, the color, the graphic for the card, where did you decide to have that done? And where did the idea come from?
So I've been doodling this heart with radiating rays coming out of it ever since I can remember. I mean, I remember it on the front of my notebook in middle school and in high school. And then when I went on to become a teacher, I was actually a development director, so a fundraiser, marketer person for a beautiful school that I would put that little radiating heart on everything I sent out. So that idea has been kind of with me, living in me for a long time. There's an amazing graphic designer in Ellsworth, Maine. I'm from Maine. And she took the card, this little handmade card that I made, and we were talking about the pink and green, and she slapped it together and put the words on the back and just turned it into what it is today.
It's absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much, Joanne, for all the work that you're doing with the Love Card Movement. It's thelovecard.org if you'd like to learn more information. Blessings to you, Joanne. Thank you so much again for all that you're doing to spread love all across the world.
Thank you so much, Christy. Thanks for what you do. Really appreciate it.
Hope you have a wonderful weekend.
You too. Thanks.
We're going to take a quick commercial break. Again, if you want to check more out, they have a commitment at the Love Card. You can get 5 Love Cards for free. They're just asking for $1 for shipping and handling. They're very adorable and cute. Go check it out. And shout out again to Lori Fry with the novel Turtle. She's doing some great things over there. We'll be back after this quick news break. This is your host, Christy Slaughter, on Super Talk Saturday mornings, WFHG 92.9. Welcome back. This is your host, Christy Slaughter, on Super Talk Saturday mornings, WFHG 92.9, 54 degrees here in Bristol, Virginia. And we've got Jeff on the line. Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, good morning, Christy. You were talking about these apps that check your driving habits, and I was just wondering if you'd ever seen the movie Truman.
Yes, I have, Jeff.
Well, how would you feel about a reduction in your health insurance premiums if you let them set up cameras everywhere you went and monitored you all the time and raised your premiums if you did something bad and gave you low premiums as long as you were a perfect angel?
I don't think I like that, Jeff. People might know that I'm occasionally consuming microwavable popcorn. What do you think about that? Would you be willing to have somebody watch you and observe your habits for a reduction in premiums?
I think, well, the answer to your question is no, but I think these driving apps are just the first step into being totally monitored.
I have to say I agree with you, Jeff.
I want everybody resist being monitored. That's all I got.
There you go. Thank you so much for calling in, Jeff, and for talking to us this morning, listening to the show. Today is a wonderful day to get out and enjoy this beautiful weather. Bristol Gardens and Grill has their $10 rack of ribs special. When you go in, just say, hey, I heard about you on Super Talk Saturday mornings with Christy Slaughter, and they will treat you like family. They've got their wonderful outdoor screened-in covered patio. They have a heated greenhouse dining room. You can also do carry-out or even curbside. Matt Shy from Bristol Gardens and Grill said last week, if you want to, you can just give them a call. It's 276-644-4244. That's Bristol Gardens and Grill at 276-644-4244. And they will bring your food out to your car if you're not comfortable being out and about. They have beautiful, clean, smoked meat available in small or bulk purchases. You can find out more on Facebook and at BristolGardensAndGrill.com. While you're there, pick up some Dragon Rub or one of their delicious hot sauces. I made a gluten-free stir fry this week with some chicken and broccoli, bell peppers, and I used their teriyaki sauce. Absolutely delicious. Gluten-free for all my gluten-free people out there. You can pick up that for just $5 as well. BristolGardensAndGrill.com. They are located at 230 Vance Street in Bristol, Virginia. I'm not sure if you knew or not, March is the month of renewal and revitalization.
Revitalization?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me more.
Well,
is this the anti-aging thing I've been hearing about?
Maybe.
Revitalization?
Can you tell? Does it look like I'm 10 years younger?
You always look 10 years younger.
I'm acting more immature day by day, right? If you act it and believe it,
Then other people will, too.
Or you'll just be delusional, and then that's a whole other issue. Well, Salt of the Earth has some ways that we can awaken our spirit, feel better coming out of these winter months. They have several specials. I love that they do the Pick 5. It's just $60, and you get 5 salt therapy, 5 infrared sauna, or 5 red light therapy sessions. Just $60. I can't even think of an excuse not to take care of myself with that.
That's a good deal.
That's a good deal. You could also do Relax and Renew. It's a 30-minute CBD oil massage, a salt room session, and an infrared sauna session. Now, I've talked about the infrared sauna session before. It's a great way to detoxify and burn calories just sitting there. My lazy self kind of likes that. Just sit and burn calories. Does anybody else not like that? Maybe I'm weird.
That's the way to go.
I mean, I know I'm weird, but that's the way to go.
At least it's a start.
We are not medical doctors nor medical professionals, so please contact your medical care provider for medical advice. But it is extremely relaxing. It is a wonderful way to deal with some of those little aches and things that you have going on in your body. Now, you might not know, after you do an infrared sauna session, it's really important to shower after you do that because all of the toxins are pulled out of your skin. Again, the largest eliminatory organ in the body. You want to remove that and feel all clean and fresh. They have a beautiful, luxurious shower at Salt of the Earth. It's the icing on the cake after you have your sauna session. They are open by appointment only. It's Salt of the Earth, located at 321 West Main Street in Abingdon, Virginia. You can find them online at saltoftheearthabingdon.com, or you can give them a call and make an appointment today at 276-477-4101. That's Salt of the Earth at 276-477-4101. Now, here in just a few minutes, we're going to be talking about miracles with a miracleologist. We'll be back after this news break. This is your host, Christy Slaughter, on Super Talk Saturday mornings, WFHG 92.9. Welcome back. This is your host, Christy Slaughter, on Super Talk Saturday mornings, WFHG 92.9. to 9, 53 degrees here in Bristol, Virginia. And we're talking about miracles this morning. I'm joined with my special guest, Bernadette Rodabaugh. She's the author of Believe It to Receive It, Activate the Miracles Waiting for You. Good morning, Bernadette.
Hello, Christy. It's so good to finally hear your voice.
It's so good to hear from you. You are the Miracleologist, a visionary coach, connecting your mind, body, and soul, all the things that I absolutely love. Let's go ahead and jump right in. Congratulations about your book. I think we were discussing this teaser for the interview this morning earlier, and most of us are ready for some miracles.
Yes, it's time. My book was divinely timed. It took 7 years to get here, and I couldn't figure out what was taking so long. I accidentally erased it in the middle of it. So it was divinely guided for this time of year. In the book, I teach people how to create a miracle club of support. So you have other believers with you that believe in your miracle, because that's very empowering to have other people who also believe in it. And so I teach them how to create their own book club so they can create that power partners. And for people that can't find other people wanting to be in a miracle book club, I do twice a year book club for groups. So I'm doing one right now, and then I'll do another one later on. I have a waiting list for it right now, but I just wanted people to feel empowered, and we work through the book together, each of the tools for every chapter that help you kind of reprogram your thinking so your miracles can come through. You've got to change some the ways you think, some of the ways you feel, and that's what we do for each chapter, and we just do it as a group to believe in each other.
Bernadette, miracleologist is not a term that I was familiar with before talking with you. What is a miracleologist?
It's funny. When I was writing the book, I would get a whole bunch of ideas that just came out of nowhere. I call them downloads. So that was one of the terms that just came into my head when I was writing. So I put it on a sticky note, and I thought, oh, I'm going to use it somewhere in the book. And I finished writing the book and never used it. And then my publisher said, well, we need a business name for you. What is your business name? And that's when I saw that sticky note, and I was like, oh, my gosh, that's what that's supposed to be. That's my business name. And so my belief as the miracleologist, I don't give you miracles. I help you believe in miracles, and I help you to remember that, you know, you're the miracle maker in your life, and it's up to you to bring the miracles in. I believe you can call your miracles in, and I'm here to help guide the way.
So, Bernadette, what would be some examples of miracles that you've worked with your clients? Personally, I know that there have been small miracles that have come in my life and then larger miracles. What are some examples of some types of things that you all work with?
Basis of what caused me to go on this to write this book and to go on this mission in my life is that I had horrible health problems most of my life until I was about 25, and when my health problems got so bad that I had severe depression and severe anxiety where I didn't want to leave the house, I had a small baby, so I had postpartum depression, and I had a small baby, and I decided that I was no longer wanted to be miserable and having one problem after another. That's where I just asked for guidance. I asked God, I asked the universe, I need guidance to my next best step. I need a miracle. And that's my specialty, is helping people out of their health situations where, you know, doctors or people of importance tell you there's no answers. I disagree. I disagree there's no answers. Let's call in the answers. And so that's where my basis starts from, is I know that kind of lost feeling you have when you have health problems. But I've, I've also helped with money situations. You need money. What do you do when you're about to lose your house? What do you do when, you're like me, you're too depressed to get a job? What do you do? And so those are the kind of hardcore problems that I'm familiar with and I can help people with, guide them through it.
Bernadette, I've not been able to read your book yet. I can't wait to get my hands on it. One of the things that I hear you discussing, I know that this has been a factor in my own life and probably to some of our listeners, there have been times that I've prayed and I've asked God, please give me a resolution to this. And I pray and pray and pray and ask. And over the last few years, my eyes have been open to a different way of looking at it. When we partner, if we believe in God or a higher being, it's really a partnership where we choose in our own personal life and take responsibility so that we can make those things happen. Sometimes I think we get in a very stuck place that we just don't know how to get out of a situation, whether it's health or finances, and we become paralyzed in a lot of ways. So I love that you're bringing some of these things, these desires that people have in their life to the forefront and say, okay, now what can we do about it?
Yes, I think this is the time right now where people are looking for miracles. They're scared. They're worried. They don't know what to happen. And my belief are thoughts are things. So don't think about what you don't want, because it just, I feel like it calls that in. It calls in everything you don't want. I was a professional sick person who just called in illness. Everything that was around, anything that could go wrong went wrong with me because I just thought about it so much. And so, thoughts are things. That's a great place to start, is stop thinking about all the stuff you don't want in your life and start thinking about the stuff that is going right. And I think people forget about what's going right. Things like having two legs to walk and fresh air to breathe and, little things like that, able to get out of bed in the morning. There are so many times where I would sleep through the day and didn't want to get out of bed. And so those little things, if you just keep being grateful for what you do have, more and more will show up to be grateful for. And my belief is that also helps bring the miracle to you.
Bernadette, you mentioned earlier reprogramming the way that we think. Is that really where it starts, our focus? Or where would you recommend that people could start today just so that they can begin feeling better and getting on a path to creating a more intentional, happier life?
Yes, I believe it's kind of like a broken record we play in our mind over and over again. So, the example is like when I was sick and I didn't feel good, I don't want to go anywhere today. Oh, I don't feel good. I don't feel like doing that. You're just playing a broken record over and over in your mind. And I teach you how to stop the broken record. Let's reprogram your thinking, talk about what you want. And so during those times in my life, one of my favorite, people call them affirmations. I call them miracle mottos, is, I am healthy and happy and I'm feeling better and better every day. So I just kept saying what I wanted to be true, because there's science that proves that your body believes whatever your mind tells it. And so I just latched onto that for my dear life. To get past all that depression. And I just kept telling my body and my mind that I was happy and that I was healthy and that I did feel good. And it has created miracles in my life. With this new belief system, I have not been sick for 17 years. I don't catch colds. I don't have those sorts of problems anymore that I used to have every season.
That's phenomenal, Bernadette. We need to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I would like to talk just a few minutes about our environment and how the people and situations, especially when we're first getting started and changing our mindset and focusing on gratitude and the positive things, how our environment can affect that and what we can do so that we can really take care of ourselves and make these positive changes.
Perfect. Thank you.
We'll be back here in just a few minutes. This is your host, Christy Slaughter, on Super Talk Saturday mornings, WFHG 92.9. Welcome back. This is your host, Christy Slaughter, on Super Talk Saturday mornings, WFHG 92.9. Welcome back. We are joined back with our special guest, Bernadette Rodabaugh. She is a miracleologist and the author of Believe It to Receive It, Activate the Miracles Waiting for You. Bernadette, before the commercial break, we were talking about changing our mindset. You had given our listeners the tip of focusing on what is going right for us, what things we would like to create instead of focusing on repeating the same story. When our listeners are doing this, and I know this is something I've experienced in my own life, when we're first starting out, because we've done this perpetually for years, a lot of times, it can be hard to break that habit. And when we get around some of our same influence that we have been around for a long time, the environment of people, we can find ourselves slipping back into that old patterns. Is this something that you find with your clients? And if it is, how can we go about making sure that we're setting boundaries and taking care of ourselves so that we can make this positive jump?
Yes, I think it's essential to be around other positive people. When you're trying to call in a miracle into your life, you need to surround yourself with miracle situations. I talk about reading and watching positive news and watching positive movies, things that talk about miracles and real life situations where you can believe in miracles again. And when you're surrounded by negative people that are talking about the opposite of your miracle, then it's essential to maybe distance yourself from them for a little while. I had a best friend, and I was thinking about is during 10 years, you know, Probably 10 years ago when me and my husband were talking about divorce, and her and I used to talk on the phone every day and complain about our husbands. And I finally told her, hey, I learned something new. Let's talk about only the stuff we love about our husbands because I'm trying to save my marriage. Let's only talk about that good stuff because I believe and I've read that it calls in more negative stuff, and more negative stuff keeps showing up about my husband, and that's all I'll notice is his negative stuff. And so I asked her to help, you know, talk with me positive stuff. She stopped calling me every day. And at first my feelings were hurt, but then I realized, you know, she couldn't stop talking about the negative stuff, and that literally saved my marriage, is I didn't focus on that bad stuff anymore, and I surrounded myself with other people. I found new friends, and we've been together now for 28 years, me and my husband, happily married.
Congratulations, Bernadette. That is amazing. Now, if people want to maybe make some changes in their own lives and see more miracles, your book, Believe It to Receive It, is now available. What kind of things would they discover if they pick up a copy?
They'll have hope again. You know, I think hope is essential to calling in a miracle. You just need hope. You just need a sliver of it. You just need to believe that there's a possibility of your miracle solution out there. And, you know, that's what I hope. I want to give people the hope and to not feel alone. I wrote that book so when somebody's going through something horrible like I did, depression, and you can't leave the house, you're going to lose your marriage, you're going to lose your house because you can't pay the bills, that you're not alone. I gave them a book with tools, and every chapter helps you kind of move that stuck energy in your mind and in your life to reprogram and bring in the positive. And that was my hope, is I just didn't want anybody to feel alone like I did.
Bernadette, you do coaching and consultations if people would like to work directly with you. Is that correct?
Yes, I do.
Where can people find out more information about your book, Believe It to Receive It, and possibly learn more about what you do and what you offer?
I have a website. It's called themiracles-ologist.com. And on there, you can get an autographed copy of my book. I'll sign a little note to you and send that to you. Or you can go down to a free consultation and make an appointment, and we can just talk about your situation, and I can give you some ideas or see if you want to actually work with me for a longer term to help you with your miracle.
Well, thank you so much for all your positivity this morning. This is definitely something that is very current. I think that a lot of us are really wanting to create something more beautiful and intentional in our lives. So I'm excited to pick up a copy of your book, and thank you for being with us this morning, Bernadette.
Well, thank you, Christy, for having me.
Take care. I feel positive. What do you think, Rick Allen? Do you feel positive? Are you ready for some miracles to appear in your life?
I'm always positive.
You're a pretty positive person.
I stay positive. I try to stay positive.
Well, one of the things that I love to do, we talked about some movies this morning, and we've talked about a couple books. I love to kick back, put my feet up, and relax in my favorite recliner, the Catnapper. Now, the Catnapper, I've talked about it on this show before. They have lift chairs that recline all the way, so you completely go from sleeping to standing. It's a great option. I know that some people purchase lift chairs, even if you don't necessarily need one right now, because it does give you the versatility to have another option for sleeping. And as you get older, you can kind of transition into a beautiful lift chair. Catnapper is made by Jackson Furniture. It's one of the things I love. They've been family owned since 1933. They have 7 factories across 3 states and over 1,500 American workers. Now, West State Furniture is our local source for the Catnapper. They've got several different collections that you can look at, different fabrics, different covering choices, really everything that you need to be comfortable in your home or office living space. They also have the Comfort Gel. We're seeing gels a lot now in the market. That's really great, especially it takes pressure off certain pressure point areas when you're having to sit for longer periods of time, or you just like to sit and watch movies and read like I do. You can also get heat, lumbar support, head support, and massage in some of those beautiful Catnapper recliners. Now, West State Furniture has the largest collection of Catnapper recliners that I have ever seen. That's why people come from all over to purchase their furniture for their home or office at West State Furniture. They're located at 1615 West State Street in Bristol, Virginia. Saves you even more money with Virginia sales tax. If you've been in the area for a while, it's the old Pete Moore building. You can give them a call. They do special orders as well. It's 276-591-4155. That's West State Furniture at 276-591-4155. West State Furniture has financing available. They offer solid wood name brand furniture at wholesale prices and below each and every day.
That about wraps it up.
It's a wrap.
Just about.
Do you want to rap taking us out?
No. I don't.
Are you a rapper?
I don't know. No, somebody told me to come up with some bars over the past week.
Okay, I have no idea what that is. Maybe I'm not in the rap scene, but bars, like music, like measures or something?
A
or?
Guy that I know, he puts together recordings, and he said you should put together some lyrics or something, and he could put it to music. And I was like, I'm not doing that.
I want to hear it. Can we debut it on here?
No, we
by
can't.
Next Saturday, I expect it to be here. Now, we're not going to start the show with that. We'll trail the show out.
Something we lead to?
Yes, something we leave with so people can enjoy your bars. So next weekend.
No, I'm not going to have any bars.
Okay, he's doing it. You all heard it. He agreed to it. Thank you all so much for being with us. Get out and enjoy the beautiful weather. We appreciate you tuning in this morning. This is your host, Christy Slaughter, on Super Talk Saturday mornings, WFHG 92.9.